Inshallah, let's try to come closer, brothers. Be mindful of those who are still reading the Sunnah Salah, inshallah. Those brothers who are back and who are sitting, still to come forward, inshallah. Let us try to sit as close as possible, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah, we begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher, and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our mentor, our teacher, our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a beautiful hadith that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, in which he says that your example and the example of the people of the past is like a man who employs people, and he says that who will work for me? Who will work for me from sunrise to midday for one qiraah? So the Jews took up the offer. Then he asked, who will work for me from midday till asr? And the Christians took up the offer for one qiraat as well. Then the Nabi of Allah further goes on to say that this man says, who will work for me from asr to sunset? From asr to sunset, but for two qiraats. So the first group will work from sunrise to midday for one qiraat. The second, the Christians, will work from midday to asr for one qiraat. But who will work from asr till sunrise for two qiraat, subhanallah? And this ummah was given that offer. Allahu Akbar. So what does this hadith mean? This hadith means that the lifespan of this ummah will be much shorter than the previous nations. The lifespan of this ummah, and the hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the lifespan of this ummah is between 60 and 70 years. Anything above that is bonus. But it also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with occasions like these. With occasions like Laylatul Bara'ah, Laylatul Qadr, the month of Ramadan, in which we can match the actions of those people and the rewards of those people who lived for so many years. Though our lifespan will be short, but the earnings will still match the earnings of those people who lived for 500, 600, 700 years and even more. Allahu Akbar. So how kind and merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The onus is left upon us. The onus is left upon us, how much we want to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much we want to benefit from these types of occasion that Allah has blessed us with. And we are fortunate to tell us more about it. Mufti Yusuf Musaji Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, Mufti Sahab, Alhamdulillah, has been serving Deen from the time that he has completed from the year 2006. And thereafter, he joined Radio Islam as a presenter from 2009. And up to now, he is still a presenter on Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah, shukr for that. Together with that, Mufti Sahab is based in PE. He teaches in the girls' madrasa as well for a little while. He's also active on the daily fiqh subscription, which brothers can subscribe to every day, a fiqh masta or a fiqh question, and he sends out to thousands of people who benefit from his daily fiqh masail. Alhamdulillah, shukr in that regard. He is also an author of 30 Ways to Happiness. Everybody is looking for happiness. He's also authored a book, alhamdulillah. He has weekly programs in Port Elizabeth, in Uitenhage. He does tafsir, hadith, together with their dhikr programs every Thursday, mashallah. So alhamdulillah, a great asset to the community. And now and then, alhamdulillah, moving around, going around, giving bayanas, and assisting the ummah, inshallah. The main maqsad and the main idea is how we can all become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we can reach our final destination. On behalf of myself, the masjid, the GMA, we say jazakumullah to Hazrat Mufti Sahab for taking out his time and coming from all the way from flying from PE this morning. We'll be going back tomorrow afternoon after Jummah, inshallah. We say jazakumullah wa ahsanul jazah to Mufti Sahab for taking out his time, and inshallah may we take maximum benefit. Jazakumullah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تبارك وتعالى ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا في ليلة نصف من شعبان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin by thanking and praising Almighty Allah and sending salutations upon our beloved Master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is undoubtedly a great favor of Allah Rabbul Izzah to allow us to witness this opportunity. And Maulana has beautifully outlined these golden opportunities that Allah Rabbul Izzah grants us and how we can capitalize on this so that we can make up the deficiencies in other aspects of our deen and other aspects of not being able to fulfill our responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This night that Allah has granted us, Laylatu Nisfim min Sha'ban, the 15th night of Sha'ban, there are various ahadith that speak about the virtue of this night. Inna Allah tabarak wa ta'ala yanzilu ila sama'id dunya. It comes in a narration that Allah Rabbul Izzah's special mercies descend on this night. From the beginning of the night, from the time of the sunset, Allah's mercy descend, and as a result of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes in the narration that Allah forgives so many of His servants to the extent of the hairs of the goats of the Banu Kalb tribe. So Ummul Mu'mineen said, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard this, she said, O Nabi of Allah, but why in particular the goats of the Banu Kalb tribe? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because there's no tribe that has more goats than the Banu Kalb tribe. So this is indication to the vast nature of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ أُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That on this night, there are those who are emancipated, freed from the fire of Jahannam. And that is why it is called Laylatul Bara'ah, the night of emancipation, the night when multitudes of the servants of Allah are freed from the fire of Jahannam. And in another narration it comes that there are announcements that are made from the beginning of the night. Ala mustaghfirun fa'aghfir lahu. Ala mustarziqun fa'arzuqahu. Ala mubtalan fa'u'afiyahu. Is there anyone asking for forgiveness so I may forgive him? Is there anyone asking for rizq, for sustenance, so I may grant him sustenance? Is there anyone with any difficulty, anyone in any predicament, so I may alleviate his predicament? So there's wholesale forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night. However, there are certain groupings of people that are deprived. And the ahadith indicate towards 8 people. The first is the polytheist, the idol worshipper. The second is the one who murders someone. The third is an adulterer, someone who fornicates, someone who commits the heinous crime of zina. The one who is a perpetual drinker in the state of intoxication. A person who wears his pants below the ankles. That's 5 categories, which are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are 3 more categories. Now if you look at these 3 categories, you'll find a common link. The 6th one is one who disobeys his parents. The seventh one is one who cuts family ties. And the eighth one is one who has malice, animosity, hatred in his or her heart. If you look at the common thread between these three categories, what you find is that these three categories are linked to our human relations, how we interact with others. So a person cannot gain complete piety and cannot gain complete proximity to Allah by only fulfilling his or her individual ibadah. You have to maintain your human relations in a way that is pleasing to Allah, and only then can you be a complete believer. And that is why on one occasion it is written about Mawla Rumi that he was walking with a lantern and people asked him, "Where are you going?" So he says, "I'm looking for a true human." And we can only call ourselves true humans when we have developed ourselves and we take care of all the aspects related to our human existence. So how we interact with one another, what level of communication, how we respond when there's negative circumstances are of utmost importance. And in particular, considering the two categories about the parents and family relations, keeping that in mind, I'd like to focus on the importance of relationships. Why it is integral to our existence, and why is it integral for our harmonious living in this world? There was a study that was carried out by the Harvard University, which is known as the longest study. It spanned over 8 decades, from 1938 till present day. And on this study, there was a wide spectrum of people who formed part of the study that were to be interviewed, and their lives were to be documented, and the outcome was to be analyzed. So young, old, different ethnicities, different religions, different backgrounds, in different careers, doctors, lawyers, salespeople, people doing work in menial work, whatever it is. So a complete spectrum. And the intention was to observe some aspects of their existence. And after 80 years of study and following these 738 people through the different phases of their lives, the conclusion that was drawn from this was that the number one source of our happiness, our well-being and longevity in this world is our relationships. Relationships is that one source that would bring us happiness and fulfillment in our lives. And this was analyzed from all those that were interviewed. And that is why we need to understand why there's continuous effort that is required in this regard. It was after the 6th year of Hijrah when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set out from Madinatul Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarramah with the intention of performing Umrah. And the Kuffar of Makkah then stopped the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and eventually they entered into a treaty that was known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And after this treaty, once there was a peace agreement between the Muslims and the Kuffar of Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started writing letters to the neighboring kingdoms. And amongst those whom he wrote a letter to was Heraclius, who was the Roman emperor at that time. He was the king of the Byzantine Empire, which was obviously based in Istanbul and spread through Anatolia into the Levant. So he was in Jerusalem. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote to him, inviting him towards Islam. And when that letter had reached him, he was genuinely interested to find out more. So he inquired as to, are there any people who follow this religion, who are from the Hijaz area, who are here in Syria, Jerusalem, Palestine, Levant? And he was told that there is a business delegation, a group of merchants who have come. So he asked that one of them come forth, he'd like to speak to them. So Abu Sufyan, who was not yet a Muslim at that time, was called forth. And he was brought in front of Heraclius. And Heraclius then began asking him various questions. He asked him about the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He asked him about the followers. Are they steadfast? Do they renegade? He asked him, is anyone before called or made this proclamation from the family? Is anyone ever called or made this proclamation from the Arabian Peninsula? And after asking him several questions, he then came to the point where he asked him, so what is this man saying? What is his message? So Abu Sufyan now encapsulate the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that ya'muruhum, he instructs his followers bis salati, to perform salah, was sidqi, and to be truthful, wal afafi, to be modest, to be chaste, was silati, and to join family ties. This is part of the core of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Abu Sufyan had presented. And then the king made his comments and he said that if it is as he's saying, then he will control the land which I'm standing on. He then made a proposition to his subjects. They weren't interested. And because he did not want to give up his kingdom, he did not accept Islam. The point of reference is how integral joining family ties, human relations, is part of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Salman al-Faris radiallahu ta'ala anhum was a Persian and who had this desire for the correct religion, and he embarked on a journey which spanned over 200 years, and eventually he was taken as a slave. And he was kept in Madinatul Munawwara before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's arrival. And eventually he was waiting all the sacrifice. And he says that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and the first words that he heard is, Afshu Salam wa At'imu Ta'am Wasilul Arham, that spread the greeting of Salam. Feed the poor. Join family ties. Perform Salah in the dead of the night. And you will enter into Jannah with peace. So he also outlines the integral part of the human relations to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ مَا Allah Rabbul Izzah says that his servants are those who they join those ties which they are instructed to join. And Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, and they fear Allah Rabbul Izzah, وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, and they are apprehensive of a bad reckoning. And the ulama write that those who pay special attention to joining family ties, they are those who will be protected from a bad reckoning. مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَيُّبْسَتَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَيُنْسَأَ لَوْ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهُ, that person who would like to have abundance in his provisions and who would like to have longevity, a fulfilling life, then he should join family ties. So that being said, that we know we need to focus on our human relations. So there are various categories, and I'd like to share with you 6 categories. The first being your mother, the second your father, your spouse, your children, your siblings, the extended family. And these are the areas in which we need to work on building and enhancing our relationships. And it's continuous work. When Allah Rabbul Izzah speaks about His favors on His servants, He advises and He says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We advise man with regards to his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. That his mother had carried him with weakness upon weakness. وَفِصَالُهُ. And then breastfed him and completed that breastfeeding period in 2 years. And this is something so great that we are reminded of it time and again. Just the fact that our mothers have been the means of us coming into this world. The great scholar of this ummah, the son of the second khalif, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum, was on one occasion making tawaf. And this was after having performed the Hajj. And then he comes across a man from Khurasan, which is the area of Iran, parts of Afghanistan, parts of Uzbekistan, that particular region. And the man sees Abdullah bin Umar. So you know, sometimes we have some question on our mind and we see, there's the Mufti. Let me ask him quickly. So he saw Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So he felt that here's the ideal opportunity on the mataf before the Baytullah. Let me ask him a question. So what was his question? He said, oh, our leader, Ya Sayyiduna, tell me, I walked from Khurasan with my mother on my back. I walked all the way to the Haramain. I performed Hajj carrying her on my back. I've now completed the Hajj and is now completing the final tawaf. Hal jazaytu ummi. Have I recompensed my mother for all that she did for me as being my mother? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, La. All you've recompensed her is for one of the pains that she experienced while delivering you. That is all you've done. So understanding this position of the mother, that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, Man abarruk, who should I be kind to? Who should I be dutiful to? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your mother. And the person asked again and he said, your mother. And he said again and he said, your mother. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in another narration said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. The Jannah is below the feet of your mother. And there's a beautiful example of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who was an orphan. And he accepted Islam and his mother had not yet accepted Islam. So this pained him a lot. And he would go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he would serve Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the one who dedicated his life to hadith. And one day when he was by the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, O Nabi of Allah, I've been calling my mother to Islam. And today when I called her, she said certain things about you which made me very cross. And made me very, very heart sore. And I got angry with her. And I'm asking you, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that my mother becomes a Muslim. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his hands and said, Allahumma hadi ummi Abi Hurairata. O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that I returned home. And when I came home and I entered the home, my mother then told me, wait, ala rislik.
And I could hear that there was water dropping. She was taking a shower. And she then recited the Shahada and she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, elated by this development, runs to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying tears of joy. And he remains committed and dedicated to his mother. To the extent that later he becomes the governor of Bahrain. And he is in the position of authority and he has numerous responsibilities as being the governor of the town. And every day, after completing all his responsibilities, he would go to his mother's house and he would knock on the door and enter and he would say, Ya Ummah, Rahimakillah, Kama Rabbaitini Sagira. That, oh my mother, may Allah have mercy upon you as you took care of me when I was small. And she would in turn make dua for him and say, Ya Ibni, Rahimakallah, Kama Barartani Kabira. That, oh my son, may Allah have mercy upon you as how you've been kind to me as a big man. Now who would be confident that you'd get that dua from your mother? What is it that they want? Your time. You may have taken care, you say, no, Mulana, I pay the medical aid, I give her an allowance, I do this, I do that, I do that. But more than all of that is your presence. Being present, heart, mind, and soul. And speaking. And listening to the stories. And the reality is that, you know, when people get older, they repeat things. And sometimes the younger people say, but we've heard that, you know, it's the same stories. You keep saying the same thing. You're advising me the same advice all the time. I've heard that already. And we get frustrated at that. Like there was on one occasion, a mother who was advising her son that this is what you must do, this is what you must do, this is what you must do. So once, and he said, I heard it. And then every time, the same advice. So one day he got upset and he said, you know, Ma, you give me the same advice and you repeat yourself repeatedly and again, I'm tired of hearing the same thing. So the mother said, my boy, you know when you were a young boy, one day we were looking out of the window and there was a bird and you said, Mom, there's a bird in the tree. I said, yes, my son, there's a bird. It's a beautiful bird. And you repeated it 50 times and each time I said, yes, my son, there's a bird in the tree. And now you can't hear the same story 2 times and 3 times and then you get frustrated. Atab bin Abi Rabah rahimahumullah says that sometimes I sit with a youngster and he wants to narrate to me a story that I know before he was born. But to make him happy, I listen to it like I'm listening to it for the first time. So how quickly we become frustrated. So the first person that we should focus on in terms of spending our time, our presence, providing whatever assistance and support, physical, emotional, financial support, is our mother. The second is, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَتَ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ. That if your father is happy with you, then Allah is happy with you. And if your father is angry with you, then Allah is angry with you. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was once traveling and some Bedouin came past. He stopped and he honored the Bedouin. He took off his turban. He gave him food and he even gave him a camel to ride. So his companions said that, you know, this was over the top. It wasn't necessary to do so much for a Bedouin because even if you just gave him your turban and some food, he would have been happy. So Abdullah bin Umar says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِيقًا لِأَبِي عُمَرَ. He was my father's friend. That's why I'm honoring him in this way. So if this was how Abdullah bin Umar honored his father's friend, then how did he honor his father? At the time of the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, there were many who accepted Islam at that point. And amongst those who accepted Islam at that time was Abu Quhafa radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Who was Abu Quhafa? He was the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered with a Muslim army into Makkah al-Mukarramah in the 8th year, and the Muslims were victorious. And now there was a general amnesty, everyone is forgiven. And whoever wanted to accept Islam was now coming in droves, and everyone was accepting. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum goes to his father Abu Quhafa, who's now an old man, completely grey, hunchback, blind. Sayyidina Abu Bakr holds him by the hand and brings him to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abu Quhafa comes before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take the hand, to make the pledge, the allegiance of the bay'ah, and to enter into the deen of Islam. So at this occasion, you know, what could have been told to him that finally you've understood? 20 years have now passed, you've lost out. You know, you've been stubborn for so long that you did not accept Islam. But how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treat Abu Quhafa? He said to Abu Bakr that Halla tarakta shaykh fi baytihi hatta akuna ana alladhi atihi. Said, oh Abu Bakr, why did you not leave your father in the house that I could go to him and that he could then pledge his allegiance on my hands? This was the honor that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam granted to the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And therefore it comes in a hadith, Inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala. Part of the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ikramu dhi shaybatil muslim, to honor the elderly. Man lam yuwaqqir, that person who doesn't honor the elderly and doesn't show mercy to the young, then he's not from amongst us. And the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it comes in the narration, ma akrama shabun shaykhan lisinnihi illa qayyada Allah man yukrimuhu fi sinnihi. That if a young man honors an older person because of his age, then Allah will make it such that he will also have someone who will look after him and honor him in that way when he's older. And I came across an anecdote that there was this one family, the grandfather was living with the family. As the grandfather became older, he became a bit unfirm. So his hands are shaking. He would, you know, drop things. So every night on the dinner table, dropping the plate, the expensive dishes, messing the food. So the lady of the house became annoyed. You know that my expensive dishes are breaking. I've got to clean up. So eventually she put some pressure on her husband that, look, buy wooden cutlery for your father and let's give him a place where if he messes or whatever, it's fine. So they set a place with wooden dishes that the old man must sit there and eat on his own with the wooden, so if he messes and if he drops it, it's fine. Put him one side. So that is what the arrangement that they made. So while the old man is sitting in the corner where his arrangement is, the toddler of the house goes and he prepares a place next to the old man. So the father asks his boy that, now, oh my boy, what are you doing? Why are you preparing a place next to your grandfather? So the boy innocently says that, Dad, I'm preparing this for you when you get old. And that is the reality. That how you treat your parents, how you treat your father, how you treat your mother, that is how your children will treat you. The cycle will come back. And what is it that fathers want? They want that respect. that acknowledgement, to be consulted. You know, we have the, what is termed as the junior-senior deficit, where the juniors, the younger ones, want to have the liberty to be able to make decisions and feel, I want to live my life independent. And maybe the seniors want to continuously advise so that others can benefit from their wisdom. So it's all about finding the balance in that regard. The taking the advice, being patient enough to listen to that. And where have we gone to the level? You know, today I visited my ustad, and he said that he's dealing with a case where there are daughters that have taken their mother to court because they feel that the mother has devoured the inheritance. And the lady is more than 70 years old. So this is the reality. So we need to reset and re-look at our relationships in this regard. So we've spoken about the mother and the father. The third relationship that we need to continuously work on is our marriages. That marriage is like a garden. And alhamdulillah, in this area, beautiful gardens. There's continuous effort that it needs to be made. You can't work on your garden for 6 months, say, I've put a lot of effort in it, I've de-weeded it, I've cut the hedges, planted my roses, everything's good. Now you take a break and you sit back. The moment you stop working on it, what happens? Now it will start becoming overgrown. The weeds will return. The hedges will become overgrown. So similarly, after years of marriage, things become routine. The spark is lost. And then we take each other for granted. There should be continuous effort towards keeping the bond and connecting on a daily basis. And how to do that? You know, they say there are 5 different languages of love in how people express their love. And the first one is the physical touch, where to be loved by touch, the person who experiences the touch from the loved one then feels loved. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rajula idha nadhara ila imra'atihi." When a man looks at his wife and she looks at him, nadhara Allahu ilayhima bi nadhri rahmatin. Allah then sends his mercy upon them. Wa idha akhadha bi kaffihi, and when he touches her with his hand, tasaqatat dhunubahuma min bayni khilali asabi'ihima, that the sins then drop off from his hands, from between his fingers. He's cleansed from his sins. And therefore, psychologists are saying that between the husband and the wife, there should be at least 10 to 15 touches between them during the day. Physical touch. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana yattaqi'u fi hijri Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reclining on the lap of Sayyidina Aisha radiyallahu anha. She says, wa ana ha'idun, and I was in the state of menstruation. Kana yaqra'u al-Quran, and he was reciting the noble Quran. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in itikaf. He was sitting in such a way that he was in the masjid, but a portion of his hair was out of the masjid, and Sayyidina Aisha was combing his hair and cleaning his hair for him. So the physical touch. The second is words of affirmation. Words are not just words. Words are a bridge between what we're feeling and how we convey that to another person. And it shouldn't be taken lightly. And I will give you an example. Think for a moment. When was the last time someone gave you a genuine compliment? That you're looking good today. You're such a kind person. You're such a generous person. How did you feel with that compliment? You felt energized. There was almost like an energy that came in your body as the result of the compliment. So that is the power of words. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, كيف حبك لي? That how would you describe your love for me? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my love for you is like a knot that has been tied in the rope. And then she would ask, كيف حال إقد? That how is that knot? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from time to say, that the knot is intact. Don't you worry. When someone asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is most beloved to you? He said, Aisha. He asked, from the men? He said, her father. But he didn't find difficulty in expressing his love for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It wasn't difficult. Sometimes we as men think that, you know, if I say, I love you, it sounds cliched. Or she'll think I'm being fake. Maybe he wants to go for a boys' weekend. But say genuinely, and this is part and parcel of what builds that strength in the relationship. The third language of love is giving gifts. For some people, they feel loved when they give or receive gifts. There was a young boy who was asking his father questions and said, Dad, you know, how much does it cost to get married? And the dad says, I don't know, I'm still paying. So giving gifts is more important to some than others, but it's the thought that counts. And there's always opportunities that it can be used to build relationships. Tahaddu tahabbu. When you give a gift, it becomes a means of spreading love. The third, or the fourth language of love, is acts of service. To assist one another in your daily chores. That we have our core functions that we engage in. And to help one another beyond that. There was once a man who went to the doctor. He says, Doc, you know what? I'm finding that, you know, the things I used to do around the house, I can't do it anymore. So the doc said, okay, let me examine you. So the doc checked him out. After that, he asked, Doc, so tell me, what is it that I'm wrong? What's wrong with me? So the doc says, let me tell you straight out. You're just lazy. You can still do all of it. So he says, Doctor, okay, that'd be in his place, but tell me, give me the medical word for this so I can tell my wife what is my condition. So we're always ducking and diving. But when we assist one another and compliment one another, that is what strengthens our relationship. So the fourth area that we need to focus on in terms of building our relationships is our children. And the reality is that if you would like to be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. If you'd like to be in their memories tomorrow, then you have to be in their lives today. And you know, many people who married their career, there was in fact an interview that was done with CEOs of high-powered companies. And after they reached the age where they had to step out of their position, and they look back on their lives, and what was the thing that they regretted the most is the years that they lost out with interacting with their children. Because at every phase, you can interact on a different level. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, La'ibuhum sab'an. For the first 7 years, you play with them. You may feel that, no, I'm just working for them. I need to just clinch this deal. I'm setting them up for the future. My children will never have to work. That is how much wealth I've accumulated. But remember that there's only 7 years. La'ibuhum saban. Who could be more busier than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was the Rasul of Allah. Wahi was coming to him. He had to take care of an entire ummah. He had to propagate a deen that was to continue till Qiyamah. But what was he doing? He was on his fours. with Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein on his back. And one Sahabi walks by and says to Sayyidina Hassan, the young boy, that what a good ride you have. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what a good rider I have on my back. So the moments you have now will never return. La'ibum saban. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picks up Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu anhum. In fact, he picks up one of his grandchildren, Sayyidina Hassan. And Aqra ibn Habis was a Bedouin. He sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissing him, kissing Sayyidina Hassan. And he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, Inna li ashar min al walad lam uqabbil minhum shay'an. That I have 10 children, I've never kissed them. So that he thought to be very manly, to be masculine. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, what can I do if Allah has deprived you of mercy in your heart? What can I do if Allah has deprived you of mercy in your heart? So Sayyidina Ali says, La'ibuhum sab'an, that you play with them for 7 years. Wa'adibuhum sab'an, for the next 7 years, you focus on their education. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Muru awladakum bis salah, wahum abna'u sab'i sineen. Instruct your children to perform salah when they are 7 years old. Wadribuhum alayhim, wahum abna'u ashari. And then reprimand them when they reach the age of 10. So the next 7 years is the years when they will learn from 7 till 14. And the lessons and the etiquette that they will learn in this period, this will remain with them for life. One day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting on the dasturkhan, and a young boy comes and he starts eating with his left hand, and he eats from here and there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam holds his hand and he says, Ya ghulam, O young boy, Samillah, begin by taking the name of Allah. Wakul biyaminik, and eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yalik, and eat that which is close to you. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, Wasahibuhum sab'an. And then the next 7 years, from 14 till 21, become their friends. But you'll only be their friends in that period if you had built a connection with them in the first 7 years. Then you will be their friends beyond that. But if you were too busy, that on the one hand your work, on the other hand your different activities, paddle every second night, golfing weekends, fishing trips, boys' nights, and hardly ever at home, you haven't spent quality time with them, spoken to each one on a daily basis, know exactly what is happening in each one's life, connect with each one of your children, and spend a few moments chatting to them one-on-one, then you'll lose that opportunity. So, connecting with our parents, our mothers, our fathers, spouses, children. The next aspect that we need to build relations is with regards to our siblings. And they have a special position. Musa alayhi salam made dua for Sayyidina Harun. And as a result of that dua, Nabi Harun became a Nabi. Washtud bihi azri. They say no brother had benefited a brother to the extent that Nabi Musa alayhi salam had benefited Sayyidina Harun. Sanashuddu adudika bi akhika. So this is the relationship between siblings, that they ought to have that connection. There was a father on his deathbed, and he was in hospital. From the side of his bed, he had 5 sons next to him. And he took out a bunch of twigs that were wrapped with a string, and he gave it to the oldest of his sons, and he says, break this. So the oldest boy, young man, tried and he couldn't. Passed it to the next one, to the next one, till it came to the fifth one. Each one tried whatever they could. They couldn't break it. He said, give it back to me. So they gave it back. He then untied it, and he took 5 twigs, and he gave it to each of these sons. And he said, now break it. With ease, they broke it. He then said to him, my sons, understand this, that when you are united together, then you are like this bundle, this of wood. Nothing can affect you. But once you become separated, then you are weak. Then everything will affect you. And that is why they say that the sincerity of a wife is tested when the husband has financial difficulty. Like one lady said that, you know, if I knew you were this poor, I'd never marry you. So the husband said, love, when I said you are all that I have in this world, I really meant it. So the sincerity of a wife is tested when the husband has financial difficulty. The sincerity of a man is tested, a husband is tested, when his wife is sick. The sincerity of a husband is tested when the wife is sick. And the sincerity of children are tested when the parents become old. And the sincerity of siblings are tested when there's wealth to be distributed in inheritance. Then the true colors come out. Then two brothers drank from the same breast milk, who played together as children, grew up on the same lap, yet they're willing to turn around and said, you've eaten my share, I will never speak to you for the rest of my life. Or when there's some feud that takes place and we cut each other off and we break ties. Arrahimu mu'allaqatun bil arsh. That family ties is attached to the arsh of Allah, saying, man wasalani wasalahu Allah. Whoever joins me, Allah will join that person. Man qata'ani qata'ahu Allah. And whoever cuts me, Allah will cut off that person. So that is the fifth category. As we move to our conclusion, the sixth category is our extended family. We do not live in isolation, and we need to maintain ties with the extended family. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he loved his uncles. Sayyidina Hamza, when he was martyred on the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was deeply saddened. He wanted his uncle Abu Talib to become a Muslim. At all costs. He honored Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu as his uncle. After the Battle of Uhud, he went to visit his uncle, auntie, who was Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu had family links to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from his mother's side. So one occasion he stood and he said, this is my khali, my maternal uncle. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَحَدٌ. That show me who has a maternal uncle like mine. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paid special attention to this regard. And even in his message of da'wah, when he stood up on Mount Safa for the first time, then he started off with a general message and then he said, Ya Abdi Manaf, Ya Bani Hashim, Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, Ya Safiya, Ya Fatima. Showing the importance of all the different links of the family. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allimu Sibyanakum, that teach your children with regards to their family lineage to that extent that will then be a means of them joining family ties. So we need to focus our efforts on building relations across these different human relations. And at times what happens is that there's misunderstandings. Someone said something in retaliation, and this results in conflict. Sometimes it's bad communication, where you say something, you don't mean something bad, but it's interpreted in a particular manner. Or it may be someone is dealing with their own demons and therefore they cannot share in the joy of others. Maybe your son became a Hafiz, his son dropped out. Now he makes a comment. So this is part and parcel of life. Different conflicts coming about. But on this great night of Laylatul Bara'ah, what we need to rise above our pettiness. We need to rise above our ego. And we need to rise above our own selfish interests. And we need to build strong ties with one another. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum used to take care of one of his family members. Mistah bin Abi Athath. And Mistah had a hand in the tragic episode of the slander against Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And when the entire verses, the chapters were revealed exonerating Sayyidah Aisha, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that I will never give him anything. I take an oath that this man who I'd been taking care of for so long, this is what he does to me. So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. The man of virtue should not take an oath that he will withhold his spending on his relatives, on his family members, on the poor. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا, forgive. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, pardon. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Would you not love that Allah forgives you? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, بَلَا, yes indeed, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي. That I love that Allah Rabbul Izzah forgive me. So this night, Laylatul Bara'ah, is a night to turn in tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah for forgiveness for all that we've committed. And also, part of our tawbah is to mend our relationships and to undertake that I'll be the one who will take initiative. لَيْسَ الْوَاسِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي. Nabi Sassam said the one who joins family ties is not the one who reciprocates only. That I'll do my share if you do your share. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاسِلْ الَّذِي, the wasil, the joiner, is the one who, when ties are cut, he then connects it. When there's negativity, when there's bad mouthing, when there's some bad experience, takes the initiative to mend the situation. May Allah Rabbul Izzah give us the ability to always maintain good relations. And let us realize that, you know, this is our source of a fulfilling life, a good, fulfilling life. And that let us pay due on this night. Let us not feel that we've sat in the masjid for a program and therefore we've done our duty. Let us engage in worship. A few minutes of dhikr, tilawa, wake up for the tahajjud. We have the strength to fast. It is recommended tomorrow to fast. Also, occasionally, to visit the Qabristan on this night. So these are the activities that we should engage in. Make dua. Ala mustaghfirin faghfir lahu. Ala min mustarziqin. Present our needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also Laylatul Jum'ah, the Thursday evening, when the children of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, that, oh, our father, make dua for our forgiveness. He then said, wait. And then he waited for a Thursday evening, Laylatul Jum'ah, and then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a Thursday night. So we have a bonus upon a bonus. And this is our pathway towards the month of Ramadan. That if we spend this evening in a good way, and we maximize, it will then open the way for a blessed Ramadan. May Allah Rabbul Izzah grant us a blessed Ramadan. May Allah give us the ability to make tawbah to Him, ask forgiveness for us, our sins. The poet says, Ilahi abduka al-asi ataka. That, oh Allah, a sinful servant of yours is coming to you. Muqirrun bidhunubi wa qad da'aka. Acknowledging his sins and calling out to you, Ya Allah. In taghfir fa anta lidhaka ahlun. If you forgive, then that is what we expect from you, Ya Allah. Wa in tatrud fa man yarham siwaka. But if you reject us, Ya Allah, then who will we turn to? Where will we go? So with that fervor, we should make dua this evening, make tawbah in the recesses of our hearts. May Allah Rabbul Izzah accept our sitting in his home this evening. May Allah Rabbul Izzah grant us all our needs. May Allah Rabbul Izzah give us the ability to continue in our path towards closeness towards Him. Let us make dua for a few moments.
اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد لا منتهى لها دون مشيتك اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم صل على محمد طب القلوب ودوائها وعافية الأبدان وشفائها ونور الأبصار وضيائها اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي بجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك
يا الله we thank you and praise you يا الله يا الله it's only because of your favors upon us that you've granted us iman that you've granted us islam that you've granted us to be from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you've granted us the noble Quran يا الله يا الله we cannot thank you sufficiently for all the bounties that you've granted us يا الله يا الله We send salutations upon our beloved master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we turn to you on this night in Tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've sinned. We've sinned so much that we've blackened our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've sinned in the open. We've sinned in behind closed doors. Ya Allah, we've sinned in our youth. We've sinned in our old age, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've become tired of sinning, Ya Allah. Negligence has enveloped our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're turning to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're weak, Ya Allah. We are your servants. We acknowledge our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, on this Laylatul Bara, forgive us, Ya Allah. Overlook our sins. Pardon us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, pull us towards you, Ya Allah. Draw us towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all that we've committed, Ya Allah, wipe it out, Ya Allah. Turn our evil deeds into good deeds, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Give us the ability to live our lives in your obedience. Let us gain continuous closeness towards you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, pull us towards you. Ya Allah, give us the ability to remain constant with our five daily salah in Jama'ah behind the Imam. Ya Allah, give us the ability to recite the noble Quran daily. Ya Allah, give us the ability to make your dhikr daily. Ya Allah, give us the ability to make dua to you daily. Ya Allah, give us the ability to reflect on your bounties daily and to be grateful to you on a daily basis. Ya Allah, Give us the ability to live our lives in such a way. This world, we leave the world with the kalima la ilaha illallah on our tongues, Ya Allah. And that we answer the questions in the grave with ease and comfort. And that the grave become a garden from the gardens of paradise for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make all the stages of the akhirah easy for us. Make qiyamah day easy for us. Make our reckoning easy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make hisab kitab easy, Ya Allah. Make our deeds weigh heavy on the scales, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us be from those fortunate ones to drink from the Hawdi Kawthar, from the hands of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the ability, make it easy for us to cross the bridge with the speed of lightning and to enter into Jannah without reckoning. Ya Allah, every one of us sitting in the masjid have our own needs. We have challenges on a financial level, in our marriages, with our children, in our workspace, our health issues. Ya Allah, you know our conditions better than us. Ya Allah, grant us complete afiat. Ya Allah, give us the ability to take care of all our relationships. Ya Allah, give us the ability to serve our parents, to make the correct tarbiyah of our children, to be beautiful human beings, to fulfill all our responsibilities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from crime, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all adversity, Ya Allah. Protect us from your punishment, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring down favorable conditions, increase our sustenance, grant us barakah in our sustenance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Muslims have suffered in Gaza, Ya Allah. Continuous bombardment for more than a year, Ya Allah. Their homes have been destroyed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they've experienced untold hardship, unfathomable to us. Ya Allah, we live in luxury. We have no concern about our meals. We have no concern about our daily amenities. All of it has been destroyed, Ya Allah. We've been negligent with our responsibility towards them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you open the way from your ghaibi khazana for them, Ya Allah. From the unseen, protect them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they've taught us what is tawakkul and trust in you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us live our lives with a trust, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you open the way, protect them. Ya Allah, you protect our country from external influences, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we appreciate the religious freedom, Ya Allah.
Allah, it says great happiness to see the number of masajid that continue to mushroom in this area, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this is your favor upon us. Different institutes, madrasas, and different types of deen education that is being disseminated. Ya Allah, accept from everyone. All the ustads, all the imams, all the mutawallis, all the trustees, all those who are involved in any deen activity, the jamaat work, the khanka work, Ya Allah, you accept the darul ulum work and all work of deen that is taking place in this area, the surrounding areas and throughout our country and throughout the world, Ya Allah, you accept. Grant all those who are involved in this, grant them afiat, grant them abundance of rizq. Ya Allah, protect them from the eyes of those who are jealous, Ya Allah. Protect them from the hasideen, protect them from the enemies, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept our ibadah. Ya Allah, everyone have needs of their own, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you fulfill everyone's needs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, continue to shower your mercy upon us. Accept our sitting in your home this evening. And Ya Allah, pull us towards you and continue to give us the opportunity to sit in different deeni programs. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
We say Jazakumullah to Mufti Sahib for those beautiful advices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of these advices, inshallah. And Allah reward Mufti Sahib for coming all the way, inshallah. And Allah take him back safely and continue to use him for the benefit of deen, inshallah. The adhan will take place now, and inshallah at 8:30, Jamaat will take place, inshallah. Jazakumullah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح